Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, it's the calm before the storm. Listen up. There's an 85% likelihood that the Fed will raise rates in their September and December meetings. So now is the time to lock in a low fixed rate or get pre-approved for a new loan before rates go any higher. Go to Cornerstone First Financial. Whether it's a refi or a purchase, you'll get the lowest rates guaranteed. Work with the friends of TMOS. Cornerstone First Financial is a direct lender with their own money and the ability to meet any competitor's estimate. You see, Cornerstone has a certain amount that they have to clear off their warehouse line each month, and they do this by offering the absolute lowest rates. Plus, you can get pre-approved before you work with an agent, so you know what you qualify for. Just like so many TMOS listeners have done before you, I promise you Cornerstone First Financial will give you sound advice. Click their banner on our website or call Cornerstone First Financial at 202-625-1221. Mention TMOS and receive a free appraisal at closing. Personal attention from application to closing. Licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Florida, Georgia, and Colorado. Don't wait. Now is the time to call Cornerstone First Financial.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everyone. It's Doc Emrick, and welcome back to the second period. We're really excited about a fantastic game here, and let's get it started. Now we got Santana Bray across the blue line, and he shovels it off to Spiewak. Spiewak forks it over to O'Brien and back to Bloom. Now it goes behind the net. Now they're rattling it around there. Spiewak with a shot, and it misses upper wide. Now, McIntosh sorcerers it over to O'Brien. O'Brien skips it back over to Spiewak and back to Santana. They cross the red line, and they're getting in. A two-on-one now with Spiewak and Santana. Oh, he misses wide with a high shot. A beautiful save. Oh, he scores on the tip-in. He scores on the tip-in. Fantastic goal by Mike McIntosh off the glass and into the back of the net.
Sorry, it was only 23 seconds.
Very cool. Very cool.
Love it, Doc.
Let me try it with another team, shall
we? Okay, yeah.
What team would you like?
I would like the Sports Junkies.
All right. Now they come across. Big Papa Lurch backs it off over to EB. EB in the corner. EB back over to Cakes. Cakes drops it off across the red line, and here they come. Now, Junkies breaking out across the red line. There's a shot by John Paul Flame, and it misses wide. Now, Flame flips it over to Auville. Auville back over to Bickle. Bickle paddles it up the right-hand side. Back in front of the goal right now. There's a shot by Lurch. It's off the cage. Oh, another shot by Lurch. And the rebound. He scores! Chris Kennard, the rookie from Oshkosh Bigosh, with a fantastic goal. CK Chris Kennard.
He doesn't wear a helmet, does he? Does he wear a helmet, Doc?
No, he doesn't wear a helmet.
That's amazing.
He's one of the traditionalists that doesn't wear a helmet, and that's why he's got dents in his bald head. All right, another team. I'll do another team if you'd like. I'm here. You know, we've only got 20.
All right, let's see.
The cast of Caddyshack.
Oh, Caddyshack would be great.
All right. Now here they come, and it's Rodney Dangerfield backing over to Bill Murray. Bill Murray back over to Chase. Chase over to Murray and back to Brian Doyle, moving his brother, who's working on the right-hand boards. Now the defenseman takes it back over right now. Now Pony Bat Bloom is scowling at me.
Am I doing okay with this, Pony? You're not looking like you're enjoying this.
Oh, I'm enjoying everything.
All right, Caddyshack. Now there's a shot by Dangerfield. It bounces off the post. And the rebound. Bill Murray. Oh, this is a furious activity in front. Oh, Ted Knight scores.
Oh, Ted Knight.
Of all people.
He scores.
Hey, inspired by Caddyshack, how about a goal by old school golfers?
All right. They break it across the red line right now. And here comes Chichi Rodriguez. Chichi Rodriguez dumps it off to Fuzzy Zeller. There's Johnny Miller on the right-hand side. And Ben Hogan. Ben Hogan, a wily veteran, making his return after being injured for 6 to 8 months. There's a shot by Jack Nicklaus back over to Trevino. Trevino brings it around the right-hand side, and he throws it right back in front. Billy Casper takes a shot, and it goes back. It goes, Gary Player scores!
Gary Player?
I didn't put Arnold Palmer in there, I'm sorry.
I think Arnold Palmer's probably on the bench.
The cast of Sanford and Son.
That's a good one.
There are only like three cast members, though. I can't do that one. It's got to be a more of an ensemble.
Good
cast
times.
Oh, good times too obscure.
We're running out of gas.
Atlanta.
The bit has run its course. Atlanta. Thank you.
That's a lot of characters on that.
All right, good. And there's Glover. Glover over to Glover. And Glover with a slap shot. Glover behind the right hand side. Back over to Glover. Now it's back in front of Glover and over. What?
See, that was
sort of a one man machine on the Atlanta team.
I've only got one more in me.
Please.
How about former cast members of the Mike O'Mara show?
Oh, that's a good
one. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
They break it across the blue line, and it's Ronick over to Burbank. Ronick over to Burbank, and a shovel pass to Diaz. Now Diaz slowly making it around the back of the cage. Oh, Diaz gets run into the board. Oh, that's terrible. And Langer. And Andrew Langer, making his debut, comes back across. Langer late. He's stopping to talk. He's talking. He's not playing. Back over to Ronick. Ronick appears to have picked up a puck and thrown it into the net because he cheated. He scores!
All right.
I love it.
That works.
I like when you bring people's personality to the game.
Thank you. That's Doc Emmerich's hockey night.
That crew, that entire crew was put in the penalty box for 8 years.
That's right.
And they started their own team.
They did start their own team in their own league, and now they have plenty of time to do whatever they need to do.
I love live theater. There's nothing quite like live theater. How about my ex-wives?
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's do it.
Wife number one backs it over to wife number two. They're stopping to commiserate at the red line about payments made. I'm sorry. No.
Payments made. That's awesome.
Hey, how about sexual predators? All right.
Oh, good.
And here they come over the red line, and it's Weinstein back over to Spacey. Spacey dishes off to Cosby in the right hand corner. Cosby back to Spacey and over to Weinstein. Matt Lauer breaks the cross inside. Oh, he takes a shot and it goes off the post. Matt Lauer dishes back over to Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose out in front to Weinstein. Rose to Weinstein and back over to Charlie Rose. Charlie Rose with a shot. He backs it back over right now. Weinstein takes a slap shot from the point. Back over to Spacey with a chip in. And as usual, he scores.
Mike, if we're dealing with political figures, what about the former Trump cabinet members?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
people
God,
that have come
really
and gone.
Really
yeah, that could be both sides.
That's very, very
two teams.
Difficult. That could be. I only do current because I'm
okay. Current's fine. Current's fine.
Okay.
And now we're starting. And now it goes. Mike Kelly, General Mike Kelly, one of the old Wiley veterans, dishes over to Trump. Trump back over to Melania. Melania skates in across right afterwards. Dishes off to Sarah Sanders. I can't do it. I can't.
Oh,
do it.
This was, that was
I was
great.
Shocked that Melania
I'm
was
so
back
sorry.
After that kidney procedure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. She's making her way back after a kidney procedure that seems to have gone very well, but there weren't many details revealed about it. Melania was very close to the vest. Speaking of vest, Melania is wearing a special set of shoulder pads to protect her valuable assets. Now Trump back to Sanders. Sanders dishes it off to General Kelly. General Kelly back over right now to Pence. Pence has come in with his white helmet. He shoots and he scores! His white helmet.
Huge. See, white helmet,
hair.
Yeah.
That's his hair. That's my impression of Doc Emmerich. Yes, not many people knew
awesome.
What was
Love
going
it.
On.
Love it.
That's the only way. I think he's the greatest play-by-play guy.
But you got to get that to Doc ASAP.
Yeah, right away.
Okay, one more. Let me see. One more. My movie heroes.
Oh, good.
All right, here we go. Now it's Hanks over to Gear. Gear back over to Hanks and dishes off to Newman. Newman back in the corner to Nicholson. Nicholson goes over to Streep. Streep dishes it off back to Newman. Oh, a shot by Newman that just rattled off the cage. Now they come in the red line. Another rush by the Movie Greats. The Movie Greats are coming in right now. It's Hackman. Hackman breaks across the red line right now. Hackman looking good for a wily old veteran. Back to Hanks. Back to Hackman. Hackman with a slap shot and scores!
He's a pro, that Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, at 85, still getting it done.
He got in the league just after he retired from acting. I don't understand.
There are so many Gene Hackman.
Thank you to Rob Spiewak for providing me with the hockey ambiance. I appreciate it.
So many clips of him on our TMO's fan club page.
It's great.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
Gene Hackman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman, man. You know, the last really great one Crimson Tide? Was that the really
for
the
him?
Last? The little thing he does, the scratching of the head.
Let me look
yeah.
it up.
Mm-hmm.
The scratching of the head in Crimson Tide.
That's and he, you know, he has several movies that if he had just done
Enemy
that movie, he would have been okay.
Solid movie, Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
How about Local Smith? Anchors? Alive and Dead. Local television personalities.
D.C. Market or Florida Market?
D.C. Market.
All right. There's one that I'm hoping for.
Well, just say the name and I'll start with it.
I'd like for Fred Weiss to start with the puck.
Oh, stop it. No, now I don't want to do it. Now
You ruined it.
All right, Fred Weiss back over to Jim Vance. Jim Vance over to Fred Weiss and back to Gordon Peterson. Gordon Peterson dishes off to Glenn Brenner and it's back over to George Michael. I didn't know they were all going to be there. Michael to Brenner. Brenner over to Vance. Yes, the heaven line from the Washington, D.C. Capitol. There's a shot. It rattles off the post. That was a close one. Now, Doreen Gensler dishes back over to Angie Goff. Angie Goff back to Anna Yu. Anna Yu's got a heck of a slap tap. Back to Goff. Back again to Yu. There's the shot by Yu. And it rattles in the back of the cage.
That's awesome. Oh, I could do this all day. This is great. Oh,
Doreen, all right, great hockey player.
Mac has one. He could ruin the show.
Oh, here it
Mac
comes. Could
ruin the show. Only one more, even though I'm addicted to this bit.
U.S. Founding Fathers.
Ooh, a history buff.
A big game back for John Adams. His son Quincy is in the stands looking at him with his mother and father. Abigail and Quincy have never been to a game before. Now Adams back over to Jefferson. Jefferson back over in the corner. Jefferson dishes back over to Adams and over to Washington. He shoots and he misses wide. Now Washington dishes back over. Oh, John Hancock comes across the right-hand board and back over to Adams. Adams back over to Washington and Jefferson. They're both at the point. A shot by Jefferson. And he scores! Thomas Jefferson with the game-winning goal. Very few people thought that Thomas Jefferson had the moxie to play in this league. He's proven them all wrong.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Pretty good call by Mac. His microphone is back off.
All right. Now I'll do exclusively Mike O'Mara Show interns.
Okay, good.
Great,
good.
All right, here we go.
I wonder who'll get the goal.
Here's the Captain Matty. Captain Matty dishes off to Adrian Garcia, one of the few Hispanics playing in the NHL today. Garcia dishes off to O'Brien, and it's back over to McIntosh. Oh, Jessica with a shot. A quiet shot, but a shot nonetheless. Now O'Brien dishes off to Andrea, the Italian stallion, making his wonderful season debut. And it's back over to O'Brien and back to McIntosh. McIntosh back to O'Brien, and he dishes back over to McIntosh with a slap shot, and he scores.
Whoa!
A winning goal by Michael McIntosh. He doesn't seem to be showing any emotion, but then again, he never does.
Okay, so great.
That was a little hockey segment for all of our hockey fans. And,
big game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the big game and crucial game for the Washington Capitals. It's a crucial game against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
What does this mean? What does this mean, Mike, for any hockey team here? Because this is uncharted territory for them. Not the losing, but being
that they're good at.
Yeah, being here and actually losing and then coming back for a win.
It would be huge for the Washington Capitals fan base. The fan base is fatalistic. Based on the, I can't stop talking like that. The fan base of the Washington Capitals is quite fatalistic based on many, many appearances against the Pittsburgh Penguins and many, many losses. However, we're going to have to wait and see. In the event that the Washington Capitals lose, there will be riots on the streets of Washington, D.C. because they will realize that it's another season of unrequited love. That's right. Unrequited love.
I love
it.
His way he says love, love. Will they draw any advantage from the fact that they're back at home coming up a loss?
All I know is whatever happens, I will be in front of the television drinking High Lie from the Ivor City Brewery as I sit in front of my television set.
There's a beer called High Lie down there?
It's a High Lie, and it's from the Cigar City Brewing Company in Tampa, Florida. Now, you might be saying, are you jinxing the game by drinking a Tampa Bay brew when you're watching your Washington Capitals? The answer would be yes, but no one can get in the way of Mike O'Mara and his selfishness. Thank you very much. With that, let's start the goddamn show. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You're not fooling anybody, Bender. The next screw that falls out is going to be you.
eat. What was that? Eat my shorts.
You just bought yourself another Saturday, mister.
Oh, I'm crushed.
You just bought one more right there.
Well, I'm free the Saturday after that. Beyond that, I'm gonna have to check my calendar.
Good, because it's gonna be filled. We'll keep going. You want another one? Say the word, just say the word. Instead of going to prison, you'll come here. Are you through?
No.
I'm doing society a favor.
So?
That's another one right now. I've got you for the rest of your natural born life if you don't watch your step. You want another one?
Yes.
You got it. You got another one right there. That's another one, pal.
Cut it out.
You through?
Not even close, bud.
Good. You got one more right there.
You really think I give a shit?
Another. You through?
How many is that?
That's seven, including the one when we first came in. You asked Mr. Vernon here whether Barry Manilow knew that he raided his closet.
Now it's eight. You stay out of it.
Excuse me, sir. It's seven.
Shut up, Pee-wee. You're mind bender. For 2 months, I got you. I got you.
What can I say? I'm thrilled.
Oh, I'm sure that's exactly what you want these people to believe. You know something, Bender? You ought to spend a little more time trying to do something with yourself and a little less time trying to impress people. You might be better off. Right, that's it. I'm going to be right outside those doors. The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Over the weekend, Oscar informed me that there was much work that was done.
Oh my gosh,
in the
hours,
Mike O'Mara Show studios.
Hours and hours and hours and hours of work. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed that at the beginning there was a lot of scurrying going around. And I was just kind of curious because much tweaking was done for... We're always improving on this show. We're trying to make it better.
Yeah.
We give you the new app. We give you new cameras. We give you new YouTube. It takes a while sometimes, but the reason that things are... like down for a while and then it comes back up because we're always changing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're not CBS. We're not NBC.
Oh,
we don't throw $75,000 at something. We do it on our own and we get things right and we try to do it. So that was the background that they did. What, Saturday they were in here?
We were here Sunday, Mike.
Yesterday.
The Lord's Day.
You were here on the Lord's Day.
Yes.
Working hard. And how did everything go?
Everything went swimmingly. The guys, it's amazing what we can do if we're not trying to do everything right before the show, because that's what fits our schedules best, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I said to the guys, look, you don't have a deadline. We can do this the right way. We can RJ this. We can do it the...
We did not do the Diaz
the
method.
Santana way. We can do whatever we want, right? Now, the classic RJ is a towel over the shoulder. Look like you're busy, but you're really not.
And bring in a series of backpacks.
Yes, a lot of gear that's never used.
Saving bad cable just in case.
The Santana way is let's be as efficient as possible and nobody yell at each other, which is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That worked. All right.
Outside of getting kicking ESPN off the air for 2 seconds, everything was fine.
Yes.
Ooh,
No, but that was during a commercial break. And like a pit crew, when that happened, they got right back on. They're like, welcome to the morning roast. I'm your host, Dominique Foxworth, right in time, time, which is amazing, right?
So that worked. And
that
then,
worked, yes.
So everything was ready to go.
And then
came in today and what happened?
I came in today and the guys had everything ready to go and the broadcast started and my eyeballs are on you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm being completely honest, we have a dashboard for Skype at all times because that's what you use just for the video component, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it says your name and your address on the top left-hand corner. And it's not your full name, but it's a show. This is not your personal. This is just for the studio, right?
Right.
Oh, so I'm scared.
My personal address.
No.
Jesus Christ, that scared
the
me.
Skype,
that was more. That was information. Yeah. That my address was on the Skype. What the frig?
The Skype address we use for you on our computer, right? Which is fine right now. But it just takes one person to call this address and knock you off, like Gary Stein does.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The fire drill is, hey, let's get that address off that screen. That's what
Did
we're
they
doing
do
right
it?
Now.
Yes.
It's still a work in progress. Work in progress. So.
Who's doing it?
Pony right now is taking care of it.
Oh, God, I'm screwed.
But luckily,
no, you're good.
He
you're
doesn't
good.
Have to right. talk. We do. So we can continue doing the show.
Mm-hmm. Now I understand.
Yes.
I don't understand. That's wonderful. Yeah. All right.
Logistics.
I know there are people out there going, oh, they're talking about technical stuff. I'm sorry. I'm curious. And that's how I communicate with the guys.
Yeah, that's how we do things.
We see each other for 10 minutes before the show, and then we start, and then that's the way it goes. I want to talk about Rob Spiewak and his good luck charm sitting at the Capitals game on Saturday night, and you were there for a spectacular
amazing
contest.
I
right?
want to first off thank Ralph Reiss for giving me the tickets and setting me up with beautiful seats to see best game of the year. It was fantastic.
You know, really, I understand you want to thank Ralph, but I really
But moreover,
think that...
I want to thank Mike O'Mara for introducing me to Ralph Reiss and making that possible and moving away.
Moving away, yes. Thank you very much. Because I was thinking about this, that you're now enjoying something that I've enjoyed for my entire life. I've been a hockey fan,
mm-hmm.
and I was a motorcycle enthusiast. That's how I met Ralph. And I was a hockey fan, and Ralph and I commiserated over hockey when we met each other.
Right.
And then the worlds came together, and we have to, full disclosure,
right?
You only attend the game. The first time you went to a game, you really only attended because it was free.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have spent your hard-earned dollars to do that.
Probably not.
And even on Saturday night, you managed to put a post up bitching about the price of a beer when you were getting a free ticket to the game. So that's what got you there. I would like to think now, after all these years, you've been to multiple games in multiple years with multiple family members,
right.
and you may be, in fact, somewhat of a fan.
Oh, I love watching it, and it is the best in-person sport
right.
to watch.
Yes.
I mean, some people say, you know, football is a more exciting, more popular sport, but if you're at a football game,
uh-huh.
it's not as easy to watch, it's not as fun to watch as it is on a television, because it's a sport for TV. Hockey right. in person, you don't realize on television how fast it is. You don't realize how hard the hits are because they can be hit 18 feet in front of you against the glass. It's staggering. Right.
And
also
it's playoff hockey, which is
amazing.
A whole nother level. And it's one of the great rivalries in sports, the Washington Capitals against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And they won on Saturday night. Rob was there with his wife, and they were enjoying.
There was a lot on the line. There was a lot on the line.
Was this Carrie's first game?
No, she's been to four or five games probably.
Okay.
But it's the first one in like a year, I think. The last one she went to was in November. And so it was just a great night. We had a fairly easy ride into the city and found our seats, saw some people I knew, which was very cool, and then watched the game. And then it was always a contest. That's what was cool. It was not a blowout in one direction or the other. And mm-hmm. then there was one point in the third period when the Caps scored 30 seconds apart from each other, two goals in a row, which when you're not even seated from the goal that was just scored.
Are you talking about the empty netters?
Yes. It was unreal.
That's the big sigh.
Oh, my God.
And there is a feeling among Washington Capitals fans of there's a fatalist streak within the Caps fans. So when they got the empty net goals, and this is real hockey minutia, if you don't like hockey, get bent. We're talking about the
Kick
playoffs.
Rocks.
It's a big deal in Washington, D.C. The empty netters were the insurance because when the Caps are up by one goal,
mm-hmm.
you think it's elusive. And I had said to my friend Ralph, who I text with during almost every game, I had said to Fried, this is it. I know it's silly to say that with the fifth game in a seven-game series. I said, this is it. Whoever wins this is going to win the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I said. Now, that was before the game. Let me retract it now under the DGH clause.
Yes.
But don't get happy. I don't mean that.
Okay.
Okay. They won the fifth game. They've taken a 3-2 lead. Means nothing.
Okay.
They have to keep pedal to the metal. That's what they have to do. But it was fabulous. It was exciting. And there you were. And I texted you, and I even said, give my best to your date.
Yes.
Referencing Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
There, Carrie, who I don't know what her problem is with us, but yes.
There was one thing that made it even better. I mean, when you're at a great hockey
game,
you're
not going to address that.
You can't
just leave it and move on.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
So because we're here to talk hockey.
Yeah. But he just gave you an open to address why your wife hates him.
She doesn't hate you.
At least say that you moved on.
But you can't win on this one. I can't win. So why fight a battle I can't win?
She's really awkward.
Does not hate you, Mike. She does not hate you.
I didn't say that.
Now it's not. I mean, who could believe you now?
I didn't say that she hates me.
Oscar said
that.
Oscar said it.
So Carrie, the only obvious point that I should make is Carrie engages with fans of this show on a far more regular and significant basis than she does with anyone on this show.
Okay,
that's the only irrefutable fact.
I'm fine with her hating me. I've made peace with that.
Good.
But Mike, the boss,
she doesn't hate Mike. Why would you say that?
Because you're not saying anything. You just mowed on with that after he made such a egregious allegation. You're like, oh, yeah, that's true. Moving on.
Well, no, he didn't allege anything. He said he didn't know what. And you said yes. That there's hatred. And there's no hatred. He never brought that up.
What is there?
There's. What do you mean?
If it's not hatred, what is it?
It's ambivalence.
Do you think that's what it is?
I don't know what it is. You're married to her, for the love of Christ.
Yeah. Do you ever think of asking your wife two questions?
What are the questions?
Why are you making my life so hard at work?
I've never asked her that. Maybe tonight's the night.
Tonight might be the night.
All right. Very good. But may I address something about the hockey game? It does involve my date, okay. As a matter of fact. One thing that made the game especially good is we were surrounded by really great fans and really enthusiastic fans. Even before anything had been scored, they were yelling. You know the ladies that get all dressed up, all hot and mm-hmm. slutty, and go to a hockey game because they're there to be seen? And, mm-hmm. you know, and they're in their high heels.
God love them, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful part of the presentation. But mm-hmm. the lady at the top of our... The lady at the top of our
you're something else.
What do you mean?
Even before anything had been scored.
Mm. That's right.
Just the way you talk about sports. It's all right. Just funny. Then
Mike, I come from a broken home.
I understand. Okay. So what you were
normally
you
there's a lady. There's
people
a lady.
In the city dress up.
That's right.
Weird.
Okay. There's normally a lady or a gentleman at the top of your section that will stop
an usher.
Yeah, they will stop people from entering.
All right, the way
during
it works.
The play.
During play. You're not allowed to go to your seat.
Right.
It's one of the things that's standard in the NHL. They don't let you go to your seat because the game moves so fast and you can miss stuff. You can't have people like at a baseball game. And by the way, I think it sucks that they ought to do it at all sports.
Yeah.
I hate it when people are going in. Everybody's been to a major sporting event where you get the family that gets the hot dogs. Then the family gets the popcorn. Then mm-hmm. the family gets the souvenir. Then the and they're up and down and the game is incidental. You're not allowed to do that at a hockey game because they stop you at the very top of your section.
They have a
and
stick.
There's a
with
line.
Paddle, yeah.
What?
They have a paddle that says stop.
A ping pong stop. Paddle.
Yeah, it looks like a ping pong
that's
paddle.
New. That's new. It just used to be the ushers, but they stop you, and then you once the whistle blows, and sometimes it can be 5-6 minutes before the whistle blows, then you can go back to your seat. And if you bitch about that, it means you haven't been to a hockey game, and also, well, maybe, you know, excuse me, lard ass, maybe you don't want to get your eat on, you know, 5 minutes into the first period. So that's it.
These people are coming up and down the aisle. I guess our usher had stepped away from her post, and all the people around me are just yelling like a goal has just been scored at the people. Rules of play! Rules of play! Rules of like play, you stupid bitch!
Those are season tickets.
It was so great. And one lady just said, all I know is I'm going to put my foot out just enough to trip her. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to trip her.
So these people rolled in while the play was in.
Exactly.
That's right. Okay.
But then one day stop and play, two people come down and sit next to us. Carrie and I are two seats in, so there's the two seats that are next to the aisle, and a gentleman and his lady sit there next to us. The lady is next to me. And she's lovely. I'd say she's probably about 30, but very put together. And the game is going on, and... Sometimes she says,
what do you mean very put together?
Bob, if you go back and listen to this first segment of the show,
yeah,
you sound like a monster.
Okay.
Give yourself the thing.
I'm a monster. Yeah,
yeah. You can't be put together at 30?
No, she's I'm very describing. You know, she's lovely. How about that? Okay.
Who's the celebrity she most resembles?
She looks like she is blonde. I would say who was the really pretty lady on the View that was married? Hasselbeck. She looks like a little bit like Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Okay. That's fine with me.
Yeah, like a 30, 35-year-old Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Is any of this description of the women slutty and put together?
Yeah, right.
You're doing it in a disinterested way. Is any of this description of it because maybe you were there with your wife and you couldn't?
No, not at all.
If you were there with the guys, it would have been you.
Because this lady was pretty. And then, you know, they're fighting out on they're out on the ice.
What'd the guy look like?
The guy was, he looked like a country singer. Normal guy, short beard. Okay. So, but he's not really part of the story.
Nice descriptor.
So I'm here with Luke Bryan and this pretty lady, and they're on the far end of the ice because our seats are on the corner.
Far end of the row.
No, the team is at the far end of the ice, is what I'm saying.
The team's at the far end. I understand.
And I hear this lady next to me go, I don't think the refs are watching the game. And the voice was so low, I had to stop and look at her. Her voice was distressingly low. And then it came the yelling.
The pretty lady's
yes,
voice?
Her voice was like lower than mine. And it
like
startled me.
Like a smoker's
me.
Voice?
No, just low.
Low.
And it was really troubling. And then she started this chant. She said, I'm blind. I'm deaf. I want to be a ref. I'm blind. I'm deaf. I want to be a ref. But it sounded like, you know,
like Loud Goat's cousin was doing it?
Exactly. Yeah. Like it was William Stillwell.
So yeah. She's in the, I mean, she's in the seat and she's hot.
Yeah.
But she has a man's voice?
To a point that I almost said, I almost tried to figure out a way to look and see if she had an Adam's apple. Because she sounded
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Can I sit here? How you doing? I look like Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
But you
I'm
sound
blind.
But you
I'm deaf. I wanna be a ref. I'm blind. I'm deaf. I wanna be a ref.
So yeah. This goes on for
Let's go Caps.
How dare
Let's
you.
Go Caps. Would you go out and get me a Yingling, please? Could I have a Yingling, please? And a pizza. I want a slice of pizza. Hi, excuse me. We'll be sitting next to you for the entire game.
And so this goes on for most of the first period, and it's distracting.
Ooh.
It's so low because she's vocal. And her voice is low, and she's talking to her country singer boyfriend, and I don't know what they're doing out there. And so I finally lean over to Carrie and said, I don't know if you can hear this, but this lady next to me has a really low voice. Mm-hmm. And she says, it can't be that bad. And she looks over, and at that moment, the woman stands up because there's a bad call. A lot of bad refereeing in the first period.
So she's a passionate fan.
And she stands up and goes, oh, come on!
Come on! Come on! Come on, ref! Come on!
And I look at Carrie, and she's got the saucer eyes. She said, yeah. Oh, my God, did you check for an Adam's apple? I said, yeah, wow. I did. It's a lady. It's a lady!
But, come on, Ovechkin. Ovechkin! Ovechkin!
But when she yelled, oh, come on, I nearly made.
I'm blind. I'm deaf. I want to be a ref. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about the game?
The game was fantastic.
Yes?
Yeah, it was very, very exciting. Cool. Especially,
so you had a good time?
Oh, a blast. 100%. And then afterwards, a drink with Mr. William Stillwell. And as I told Oscar yesterday,
yeah.
When you go to a sports bar with GOAT, it's like walking in with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, because, so you did the post-game match.
Yeah.
You did, and how euphoric was the town?
The town was fantastic.
I saw people on the steps that were chanting and doing all that. And sports games, lots of fun. And spectacular.
Tonight.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as what a Pony calls a spectacular ice soccer match.
Now, I bet you're looking for a little vitamin C. Well, how about double C? As in cake and cookies, brother. All those vitamins and minerals, that's for me, boy. You got your Katie Von Herman, she hates everything. And that Rob Spiewak, well, he runs the board. Yep, this show's a hit. But don't hit your kids. Hit up the internet, cakeandcookies.com. It's pretty hard to beat it. Just like it's hard to beat your kids without getting caught. So give it a try, but save some for dad now. You might accidentally like it. Just like when my kids accidentally walk into a door frame. Remember, cake and cookies is better for your health.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show. The best of O'Mara.
Back to prom.
Prom.
Time.
Short for promenade. So
now, see, I didn't go through it with my daughters, and it's one of the regrets that I have in my life. It will always be something that saddens me. Thank
you've got
you,
their weddings
FaceTime.
Coming up, I imagine.
Got the weddings coming up, and I'll be a part of that. I'm going to be a part of that. And, you know, I love FaceTime because it gets me to see them when they're doing all
right.
My oldest was in Nashville this weekend, and my other daughter was in Virginia.
Why was she in Nashville?
Her roommate, Gwen.
We've played her
music
on
the show. Gwen is making a music career for herself in Music City in
That's
Nashville.
Cool.
So,
That's very cool.
And by the way, I've heard Nashville is like party central. Like Nashville has become this amazing mecca. They call it Bachelorette Party Central.
That's what I heard. It's a destination bachelorette place. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so she was having a great time down there, and she was staying in on a Saturday, which makes me just very happy. You know,
cool.
Of course, In my daughter's case, when she's staying in on a Saturday, I mean, she probably had too much of her Friday.
Yeah, recovering anyway, from Friday.
That's it. So back to your daughter. We're talking about not my daughters. We're talking about your daughter.
My daughter. So she comes down and her hair is just faultless. It's really, really pretty. Very elegantly
like
done.
Like that classic 80s shot of the girl coming down on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's grown up
pretty
into a woman.
In pink.
I was thinking of She's All That.
Oh, that's more 90s, isn't
deep
it?
Cut.
Deep cut?
Yes.
So then she...
You're such an old queen, though. When you just described stuff like I wouldn't just say faultless. It's just like you could have been a hairdresser, you know. It's like, nah. She looked wonderful.
I'm not so sure that with my presentation I could
understand.
Be a hairdresser.
I don't understand. He's a father, but he's
so
like
she looked
mother.
Great.
She
Is
did,
it,
and know? And then she was off to the staging area to go to prom. She was going to meet her date at the Chubbuck's house.
Chubbuck!
So,
they always squeeze their
there
way.
So there is no pickup needed
there
because she was
go.
Off. And then about 2 minutes later.
Hello, Wednesday.
And I'm then sorry. 2 minutes later, Linus is going crazy. And so I look up and Julia is running back into. I forgot his boutonniere. I forgot his boutonniere. So she runs to the fridge, grabs the flour.
Isn't it great? They still do the
off.
Same stuff we did. That's
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
And she got, and I applaud Caleb, her boyfriend, wrist corsage so he did not have to pin it on. Good move. But I was not invited to the staging area at the Chubbuck's. I was going to go.
I think that's what girls get. They don't get the boutonniere.
No, you can get a corsage can be pinned.
The Chubbuck's have a daughter too.
I've never done that.
Chubbuck's had two daughters going to prom.
Hold on,
so they're having the gang over at their house.
Sure, there's their two daughters, then Julia and another couple that are staging at the Chubbuck's because then.
So you're not going to get a chance to eyeball the lad.
Wait a second. 5:30 is the big get together, the final staging area, the pre-prom get together. At I think the name of the family was Richie Rich, and they live
really?
In.
They had a lovely
why
home.
Why can't you just celebrate them? Why do you always have to say something just like Richie,
why do you
Rich?
Why don't you?
He's jealous.
Quiet.
He's jealous of their fabulous you,
of their opulence.
Can you unmute Pony? He's been trying to pipe in all this entire time.
I will.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No.
Can I get you another Cliff Bar?
He's been talking in the background, and you're not pushing his button. Yeah.
What's Pony weighing in on? What do you want to say?
Well, I think Oscar and I were both a little surprised that they don't. That it seemed lazy to do the wrist corsage thing.
No,
I think
what
it's
the wrist corsage thing is a strategy move that exists even in my day because you don't want to be fumbling with a pin near her bosom.
Or do you?
Do you?
That's true.
I mean, if you're not going to poke, I mean, you don't stab her.
Well, what
if
you
kill
poke
her
later on?
Yeah. Well,
right?
Yeah. You get it started early.
Yeah. I mean, in Oscar's case, you wouldn't want to puncture an implant.
Hey!
The girls you were dating back then is what I'm saying.
She told me they were real.
Can we get a towel, please?
Oh, my God. So
looks like
how many different places do they go to?
Well, here's the thing. They said at 5:30, go to the house, and it's a... I don't know if you're familiar with the golfing community. It's called a golf hunt community called Raspberry Falls.
Oh, yeah.
I played that golf course. I played it with Bob Skin.
That's right. Exactly
Ooh.
Right. I remember that.
They've got a lovely park. Four that overlooks the entire valley. You're going to find the foliage.
Proprietor beautiful. Of Mr. Skin.
Even when you get at the front of Raspberry Falls, those are the houses that are what I like to call round table foyer houses. Because every
that's
house.
That's why you were referencing, and you get that from me. You get that from me when I had the big house with the round foyer.
No, it's not necessarily you. It's just.
It made me angry when I read that.
It's not
angry.
A dig at you. It's a dig at the fact that when you cross 15 in Leesburg, the houses take a step to the better. I'm on the other side. We don't have a round table.
What is 15 minutes?
15, no.
Talking about a route.
Route 15, the bypass. The Route 15 there.
Remember, we are worldwide.
Why is it like West Side Story in Leesburg?
Would you
the
like
sharks
to...
on one side, the jets on the other? Rob lives on the shark side.
Yeah, exactly.
Dun, 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 dun. Sharks are gonna win. Jets
tonight,
are gonna win
tonight. Sadly, in West Side Story, I was the guy at the dance. Said, we're gonna have a get together dance.
I just met a girl named of Julia, and suddenly it seems the girl of all my dreams is here.
So the further you get into Raspberry Falls, the bigger the houses get. Mm-hmm. Because you're getting further down. And I went probably four hunks of houses and pulled up to this house. Noticed that they back up to the golf course. Their backyard Ooh. Is on the golf course. And I also noticed that at five, they were said, get there at 5:30. I got there at 5:40 because I didn't want to be the first one there. Mm-hmm. I noticed that the driveway is suspiciously devoid of cars. I am indeed the first one there.
You're going to the Richie Rich House?
This is the final staging area before the kids go to prom.
Are you fascinated by this place? Are you looking forward to going to this house?
No, I am not looking forward to it. The only reason I'm going is that Carrie could not go, and I needed to get pictures, and I wanted to show support.
So are you feeling insecure?
Yes, and also—
What are you wearing?
A blue pullover, a nicer blue pullover, not something I would wear to work.
But a pullover is
like a sweatshirt?
Yeah, well, no, it's like a fleece.
Okay. Are you wearing long pants or shorts?
Long pants.
Shoes.
Okay. And hard shoes.
Oh, you're good man. Hard shoes.
Yes.
So you're dressing to go to this because you know.
Well, because there's going to be other parents there, and I don't want to show up. And I
understand. No, I do the same thing.
It's like,
I love this story.
Well, Christ, the DJ's here. That's nice. Here he is.
What do you do again?
And I don't understand.
So you've given it some thought, though.
Yes, I have.
It's in your head, and then you had to vent on Facebook. It's great.
And I so I show up, and there's no cars there, and I look at my phone, and I have this app. It's called Life 360, and it shows where the kids are at all times. Okay. And I see that 10 minutes after I'm supposed to have been at this place, Julia is still at the Chubbuck house. And I'm thinking, okay, so now, pardon me,
they have to monopolize everything.
I am in a large circular driveway by myself, and I'm thinking, all right, what's the creepier move? Hanging in the driveway without identifying who I am or going in and making horrible small talk with a family I've never met
before. This is how you're self-aware, though. You have a Sophie's choice.
Yes, and there's really no good choice. So I look at the phone again, and I say, oh, good. Julia's moving.
Hello, I was in can I see your laundry room?
What are those?
Can I see your laundry room?
Nice pantry. You want to take a look? Yeah. I'm famished.
How about a swim?
Anyway, do they have a pool?
No pool. I'm sure there's a community pool.
All right.
So it would wreck the view to the course, Mike.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Water hazard.
So they're on the golf course.
On the golf course.
Lovely properties out there.
So I look down and Julia's moving and I'm doing the math in my head. So they're going to be there in about 12 minutes. I said, I can kill 12 minutes.
Did this family, I know the houses we used to go, it was never my house, right? We'd go to someone else's house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually where the girls were all getting ready. The guys would go there, right?
Right, right.
And I remember that I felt like it was always on the family who's receiving all the parents. That was a job for them because they had to put up like snacks, drinks,
absolutely.
Everything,
and
right?
In my town, before the advent of the giant houses, I grew up in an era of the small houses. So
right.
In our neighborhood, it really, you know, there were different styles, but the houses were all pretty much under, you know, 2,100 square feet.
Okay.
They weren't the mega mansions you have now, and everybody's got bigger. So there wasn't that that class structure. Mm-hmm. So you chose not to go up to the door?
No, I did go because I saw that Julia was on her way, so I can kill 12 minutes.
Were they looking out the window? Did you see if they were looking out the window at you?
I saw them look out the window and then turn off the lights. I don't know what that means. So I just sat in the driveway and smoked a cigarette.
Okay, so you go to the door.
I go to the door, I hit the doorbell, and it's a fancy dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I said, I hope it doesn't go again.
Hello.
And it goes again, dun, dun, dun. And then the door opens, and it's the mother. And I say, hi, I think I'm a little early. I apologize. I'm Rob Spiewak. I'm Julia Spiewak's father. And I really appreciate you hosting them tonight. And she says, absolutely, come right in. And she's very, very nice. And we don't have anything to talk about because I've never met this woman.
Was the dad there like in a cardigan with a pipe?
Exactly. It's like you were there.
Come on in here. What do you do for a living, Spiewak?
So I go
into my study right now. Yeah.
They take us to the kitchen.
Wait, you like this team?
I don't follow sports.
Oh. Really? All right. Let's go to the kitchen. All right.
So we went into the kitchen.
You follow calories, kid?
The kitchen. You put on weight, kid. The kitchen and the family room is roughly the size of my entire home. And they've got...
Do we have to take another break?
We should.
The best of O'Mara.
Yeah.
Listen to Omericast and get caught up on all the shows of more broadcasting, like this clip from The Rob and Joe Show.
We are experiencing audio difficulties from our local program. No adjustment of your set is necessary.
Subscribe on iTunes or download it from MichaelMaraShow.com every Monday right here on the More Broadcasting Network.
Those were good times.
The best of O'Mara.
This is a fascinating odyssey with prom night and Rob having to get out of his comfort zone.
Yes.
And go to another home in a different zip code where the foyers are large and the living rooms are larger.
So I walk in and there is the son of the couple that owns the house is in his tux and his date is already there. So there are two prom kids and
my lips hurt real bad. Ask the school nurse. I know she has like 1,000 of them in her drawer.
So
Napoleon, you're jealous because I've been chatting with babes like all day.
So
all right, go ahead.
I get introduced to this couple and they're gone. Which is that's sad because
what do you mean? Explain that.
I was because they just disappeared. They were no longer
the
in
people that own the house.
No, the kid Hello. And the date.
Okay,
because I thought at least if there were some prom kids there, there might be some discussion of prom with the kids.
Is there any chow? Is there any chow out?
They lay food for days.
Oh, I mean, well, then it's a big win
see, they're
for
classy.
You.
They're classy. Yeah.
No, but he cannot eat in public.
It's true.
Oh, that's right.
You're not going to be the guy, the fat guy at the actual buffet.
No, but they did say.
Did they offer you a drink?
They did say, we have drinks here for the kids and drinks for the parents over there. And so I'm on a Stella Artois in no time.
Oh, good.
So they do have nice chilled beer. So that was good. And
did you do what you always do, chug the whole thing?
Mike, what I did is the move, if you really want to impress, you don't actually chug it, you pour it. You hold it a few inches above your face and pour it. And you relax your throat muscles and just, and they say, this guy's great.
Yeah, listen, we have certain mores. We have certain mores and traditions in the Mike O'Mara family with Rob and Oscar when we go to a party. So Rob's is to chug the entire Stella Artois and just go.
Who's ready for another?
You sipped it.
I sipped it. I had a total of 2 beers the entire evening. But it would have been nice to have about 1,000 because the mother is making small talk that is so small. I required my readers to have this small, tiny talk.
Really?
And the kitchen is decorated, beautiful kitchen with a huge center aisle, and they have like 3-foot silver Mylar balloons that say prom. P-R-O-M.
See, that's sweet. Spare
no expense.
Nice way of doing
and it was really neat. And in the kitchen at this time, it's the father, the mother, me, and the grandmother. And the grandmother has been sort of quiet. And, I introduced myself and we shook hands and everything. And the small talk is getting even smaller. And I, in
really?
An effort.
So it's getting awkward. You're not an awkward person. You can make a
you're
small
a World War
So this
II
is
buff.
When I try to save it. And I say, I really enjoy those
How about
balloons.
Those Nazis,
You wouldn't believe the helmets I have at my house.
So what you didn't mention, you didn't even mention That's the dad. Spooky. Did you have any conversation?
It's coming
with the dad?
Up. It's coming up.
Okay. Right,
so
right.
I say I really enjoy those balloons. Nice touch. I think
you know
kids
Mylar
are like
and the
By
Zeppelin.
By the way, I had no idea Rob would be making this whole prom thing about his awkwardness at a rich person's house. So this is fun.
It's intimidating. Really
it is. And so this is when the grandmother comes to the rescue. She says. The balloons are nice, but we don't always have them, you know. For Mother's Day, we have them that say mom. And she's just giving crap to the family for putting the balloons up. So automatically, the grandmother is an ally. So that's cool.
Oh, and, so the grandmother's got a little spunk.
Yeah, so that was nice.
Oh, and, good for her. So she's got a little edge to her. Yeah, and you fuse to the comedy.
Love that. Love that. So we make and talk about this and how we're proud of our kids and all this stuff that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but we're just killing time.
I have to stop for just a second. I am not going to put you in an awkward situation.
That's fine.
You're talking about very, very small. So am I correct in assuming that at least the mother is just a little awkward like you are?
And, probably. And also, I think it's not so much that is she's distracted because she's putting on a show right now that's about to get serious.
She has.
Right. There's about to be about 20 couples there.
Yeah. She's
What's
got
the movie
prom party.
With Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman? That's the is it Wedding Crashers?
Kitty
yes.
Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's the kitty cat. Everybody wants to get. Hey, look at that sweatshirt. What a lovely fleece. That but that doesn't happen. All right. I'm sorry.
There was none of that.
All right, go ahead.
So that's when things get better because the Chubbuck contingent
caravan.
Arrives. Yeah, so all of a sudden there's like eight couples and three parents, and Rob Chubbuck is there, and he's my buddy, and I've got someone
Mrs.
I can talk
Chubbuck
to.
Mrs. Chubbuck doesn't come to the house?
Mrs. Chubbuck comes to the house and immediately takes charge.
She
comes in and she says,
"You bet she does."
She says, "This is Rob, and Rob, you know her. You met her here, and oh, you know him because you met him here." And so she's making all the social connections, and that's very
she's
nice.
She's awesome, isn't she?
She's the best. But I still
isn't
just,
she awesome?
She's awesome. So
she
I
should be everybody's wife.
So I just hide in the corner with her husband, Rob. Stop it.
And you know Rob, so that you got people there, you don't have to do it all on your own anymore.
That's when the owner of the house comes over, and he says,
"So the dad?"
Yeah, the dad, and he says, And I guess it's, I say, "Hi, I'm Rob Spiewak. I'm Julius Spiewak. We met." And he says, "Yeah." And we talked. And he says, "Do you golf?"
Because it's Masters weekend.
Yeah, and I said, "Right." And this is where I want to say.
What time are we talking about on Saturday?
This is probably 6:30 now. I got there at 5:40.
Yeah,
so I've been there about an hour.
First Saturday day wrapping up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I said.
Top of mind if you're a golfer.
I don't golf, but
you followed the game.
I said, "Did you watch the Masters?" He said, "Did you see that guy dislocate his ankle?" And I said, "Yeah, talked about it on my show." And we went back and forth. And I said, "Oh no, oh no, don't ask what I do for a living.
Yeah.
Don't do that because
your show.
Because
whoa.
So
it kind of opens as we all know, it opens the floodgate for them to tell you sports,
yeah, or
politics.
Talk. What is it? Politics.
I listen to
luckily, another guy comes over that I've seen at a million school events, but I couldn't tell you his name. And they start talking, and he says, "Well, you know, I'm in government contracting, and I'm a consultant." And Rob Chubbuck says, "I get a lot of that when I, you know, doing my work with education, and I'm just zip because I don't want them to ask what I do for a living." And actually, they don't, and we get out of it nicely. We have another.
Well, why don't you want them to ask?
Because it's like, you know, that if it's some, I get the read on this guy that if I said I work with a talk show, he would have many, many questions that would require a lot of
everybody
explanation.
Does.
Yeah. And it wasn't
you
that
can get
situation.
Past, in the future, I'll give you a pro tip.
Okay,
from Santana,
pro tip. Sure.
Right? If they ask you what you do, just say you're part of a boutique media company, right? That develops and distributes silent books for the deaf.
So, books.
So that'd be good.
All right. I'm going to write that down.
Silence. I got one yesterday. I swear to God.
What's
true
that?
Story. I got one. So, what do you do? Radio show? Oh. Politics? No. Sports? Nope. And I look at him and I dead in the eye and he goes, "Well, what do you talk about?" I said, "Shock." I swear to God, it's my new go to. Because I don't want to deal with it either. I go, "Shock." And I say, and the one guy goes, he can't handle can't intellectualize it, so he turns away. And his buddy, the other guy we're playing with, looks at me and kind of goes, like he understood. Like he understood. You know, he's thinking tease. That's what he thinks. All right, so go ahead.
So eventually this conversation burns itself out to a natural stop, and I'm back to just hanging with Rob Chubbuck. And it's very nice because snapping a few candid pictures and watching the kids, and a couple of Julia's friends introduce themselves to me because I'd not met them before. And I take a picture of Julia from like across the kitchen, and she's like, "Dad, stop. Stop it." And then she smiles. You know, she's being absolutely a 17-year-old girl. And it's pretty cool to watch her interact with her friends and see her fit
How
in.
How was the lad?
The lad was dapperly dressed, polite, and a nice good guy. I like him still. Yeah.
What time she get in?
She slept at the Chubbucks, so I don't know.
Oh, no.
No, but I respect the Chubbucks, so that's fine.
That's what she told you?
Well, I can check it on my phone. She was there.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So everything was all good. And
leave the phone in the Chubbucks kitchen.
But my favorite thing.
Let's go to the golf course.
Who all slept at the Chubbucks?
The girls from the caravan.
Just the girls?
I think so. So anyway, the
think you, so.
Hope so.
Us hope so.
I are reminiscing.
So remember when you success. Wanted to go to college, Julia?
Yeah.
Remember when you had that full ride and then my grandson showed up?
Because of the full ride. That was so unfortunate.
So it was a wonderful evening.
It was a wonderful evening. We took our pictures, and my favorite of the part of the night is the oldest Chubbuck girl, Jillian, said, "Are you having fun, Mr. Spiewak, with your date?" I said, "With my date?" She said, "Yeah, My dad, you two are inseparable. Looks like you're going to the dance
together.
Yeah,
it's a comfort zone.
Yeah, but we found our comfort zone, and I got out of there. I had picked Robert needed to be picking up at his friend's house, so I had an excuse to get out relatively early.
Who's your wife? Slaying the dragon?
She was. She was
therapy?
Doing. Yeah, finishing up that shoe store where she's doing the part time is closed, so they have to finish that up. So she's doing that. That's
Didn't
over.
Did she
now.
Get like an incredible rave by one of her coworkers on
Facebook? Yes.
That I read
yeah.
That
yeah. She's
said
sweet.
How incredible your wife
mm-hmm.
is.
She went yeah. in and really helped. Harder to close a store than to open it.
She's
turns
like
out.
A state. Like Chad and I were radio station killers.
Yeah,
we were format killers. Any station we get to within 3 years, they'd flip.
Yeah.
That's like your wife in retail.
Yeah, she's a store killer.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob and Joe. I'm Rob, the better looking and funnier of the two.
I think you have that backwards. I, Joe, am considered better looking and funnier.
I don't know about that. Well, who's the smarter one?
Smarter, we're both morons.
Very true. We are both idiots. And you can listen to us idiots every week at robandjoeshow.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the new Mike O'Mara Show app.
Rob Stummer.
For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com. The best of O'Mara.
There is a name that I believe that we should be screaming. Before I do this, hold on. I'm sorry. I was going to do my thing, but we have a straggler for Wide Open Wednesday. David Silver Spring, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys?
Morning.
Hey, yeah. How you doing, David? You're a little tardy on Wide Open Wednesday, but that's okay. It's Wide Open Wednesday, which means we take calls throughout the entire show. What can we do for you?
I want to say all good things. I am tardy because the lines were locked for 15 minutes straight. I couldn't get in, so congratulations on that. Congratulations on the new app that I've downloaded. It's beautiful. Congratulations.
Let's applaud the app. Let's applaud
the new app. And I'm happy to say I've renewed my Boner Show subscription, and I'm fiercely trying to catch up.
Thank you.
And I wanted to call and say Rob did a really great segment where he was playing artists, musical artists, in their early days and trying to see if anybody could guess them. I wanted to give a Billy Joel update for like 10 seconds if I could.
Okay.
So you threw in a cut from one album that Billy did when he was in a group called Attila.
Right.
And I just want to make sure. Okay, so he was in two bands before that one. So the band before before Attila was called The Hassles, and there were four guys in the band. Out of Long Island, Mercury Records. They put out two albums through, I think, Mercury Records.
Right.
And the drummer, he became good friends with the drummer in that band. His name was John Small.
You know, that 10 seconds actually expired 25 seconds ago.
Yeah, Billy Joel's in a new band now since the call started.
Yeah. What well, is the... Is, I'm sorry. For the non-musicologist.
It's from Italian Restaurant verse. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
All right, what
sorry.
Is it?
So the band broke up, but he and the drummer got together as a duo and put out one album in this.
Oh, call Rob in his office. Can you call Rob in his office?
You know what? I love stuff like this, and you've lost even me, sir.
Rob at MikeOMaraShow.com, two Bs.
Right.
And then the dinosaurs came, but they got the...
Okay, all right, thank you. That was funny.
Hey.
All right, David, you say... You
Mike, I apologize. I don't know why he thought anyone thought
that
would like
Smolar,
that.
That was Smolar, right? Had was that to
be.
Smolar?
Had to be.
Yeah.
Smolar!
Yeah, okay.
Please don't email me.
Anyway,
come on.
Oh, God. Where do you go after that? That just threw me for a loop. That really did. Sometimes.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's not your fault. I was going to mention this before. We are so obsessed with fighting with each other and our opinions
and the
about what team and everything that we argue about on social media. When we get literally thrown in our face a true, astonishing hero, and we just blow it off. America, get your crap together. Stop rewarding the underachieving dullards in our society. We should be mentioning this name from the highest mountaintop today, Tammy Jo Schultz. Does anyone know who Tammy Jo Schultz is?
Does pilot, anyone have right?
any? Tammy Jo Schultz. Thank you, Rob. Gold star for you. Tammy Jo Schultz is the pilot of Southwest 1380 that landed her plane. Tragically, they lost the executive from Wells Fargo, the mother of two, very, very tragically, because the shrapnel broke the window and fatally injured her. But she landed this plane coming out of LaGuardia Airport, going, I believe, to Dallas, Texas. and she successfully landed the plane in Philadelphia after her left engine exploded. It, you know, in this day and age of diversity, I am an old fart who would still get on an airplane and see that there is a female pilot and probably have a little of my preconceived bigotries that I would say, oh, a woman pilot. It's not Sullenberger landing on the Hudson, but my God, and this woman's going to be forgotten within half a news cycle. Stunning.
I'll say that anybody landing a plane on one engine is heroic, right? The Sullenberger situation is full power down. You have to glide that thing onto the Hudson.
Right.
I'm probably going to be hated for this next take.
Okay.
But I'll say this. That I think we're in a space now that we shouldn't be surprised by a woman flying a plane or landing in a plane with one engine because the computer does most of the work.
And she was a...
Whether it's male or female, the computer doesn't know.
What flight training have you had, pal?
Well, it's just like when you have a power backup, the other one just says, all right, we're going to have to give all the power to the other generator because one has gone
down.
Joel
Rogers, it's called if you're redundancy. Out there, call in and tell us how hard it is to land a plane.
You know, it's a shame. Oscar wasn't on the flight to land it. It really
is. You realize that my opinion would be as soon as that plane explodes, the engine explodes, they probably go full manual. You realize that, right? Well, the computer is not relevant at that particular time.
It depends on the
time.
Redundancies of the plane. It looked like a fairly new airplane. Probably was upgraded.
And what about an entirely depressurized cabin? And what about the people going crazy? I'm sure the computer took care of that.
That's the training. The reps and your team on the plane, right?
What's your point?
The flight attendants
got away from it there.
The flight attendants did their job. She did her job. End of story.
So we should not celebrate this woman.
No, I don't think we should highlight the fact that she's a woman.
Who should we celebrate in your
mind? I think we should celebrate
Steve Jobs.
No, the gentleman who
Jimmy Fallon
who tried to save that poor woman's life. Who's
Kanye?
By the way, her body was outside the window and pulled her back in to try to save her.
Right.
If a cabin's depressurized and you're pulling someone back in, that means you're putting your safety at risk to try to save another person.
So you're adding. Are you adding heroes or are you subtracting heroes?
I'm highlighting
you
the real hero.
Soulless, soulful
the real heroes.
Gadgets monster.
Oscar says we can have one hero. And
no.
Must choose.
There was, and if I'm being fair, there were men.
You're not.
Men, there were
you're
men
not,
that
you're
stepped
not,
up.
You're not being fair.
And pulled.
You're not being fair, you son of a bitch.
Pulled that poor victim back into the plane.
Now that's another hero right there.
Of course.
That I ignored. Let's say, would you allow me to spotlight two heroes? Could we do that?
Because I think we have room for two.
This is unprecedented.
He's
we're allowing two heroes.
By the way, Republicans, Democrats, people that argue all the time,
if Congress went like this segment, everything would be aces.
No, I think that we don't stop and pay attention to people that do good things. And something like this, when I read the story about this woman, Tammy Jo Schultz, who was also a fighter pilot.
Yes.
And
I've
always believed that the best pilots for commercial airliners are the people that fly in our military because they do things
the
like
training.
Landing on aircraft carriers. Mm-hmm. The training's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Truly a tragedy that this woman lost her life. But at the same time, Oscar's right. They pulled this woman back in. Now, on the negative side of this, American journalism again. I am not somebody who screams fake news. I'm not someone who's out there trying to further that narrative that comes out of different circles in politics. I will tell you this, that journalism, you have what, about 140 people on this plane?
Yeah.
You've got people on the ground already. And all we want to know is, did someone lose that? You know, is someone critically injured? There are 140 people. They're people, they're first responders. There's just no reporting done. That there is never any reporting. I wanted to know, was the woman who went through that that hole in the plane, was that the person that was fatally injured? And they just flap their gums. You have this bad camera angle. There's just, in this day and age, when there's the immediacy of this journalism, I would have liked to have more concise, clear, understandable information about the injuries on the plane. I'm curious about that.
No one was very clear.
And God forbid we get any kind of clear understanding.
It took
of that.
Hours.
It was ridiculous.
It's tough. That's tough work, and they can't do tough work. They're very busy.
No, they can't. They're crappy journalists. Yep. They don't get on the ground and get their hands dirty and walk up to a first responder and say, "By the way, did you see what happened?" They just don't. It's incredible how they do that.
To back you up, I also felt like, you know, I went through a wave of trying to understand why they hadn't said if someone had passed or not passed. They said, are they trying to notify the next of kin? What's happening?
Right.
But if you just say one fatality, if that was known that happened, right?
Right.
That's horrible. That is not giving away the name of the person that was on the plane.
Yeah.
And then the other thought I had is, people have always bitched for years about sitting next to someone of larger carriage on a plane. Mm-hmm. I've rethought that completely.
You're going to sit next to me in the aisle?
No, I'm just saying I'd rather be uncomfortable and know that I'm safer because, you know, a person of larger carriage, even with the pressure at 30,000 feet, would not be sucked through that window.
Oh, they'll plug it.
Thanks, both of you. Okay, Pony and Oscar. All right, there's a little dining room set in hell for both of you, okay?
Here's what I envision.
You're seated there, and I'm going to be pouring the wine.
I'm not the only one that had that thought.
We have to break right now, for God's sake.
Yeah. Nine gray had the shingles off the suede, the rainbow jacket. Ball slang, glow, Bronx is only Django. Snappy.
Hello, technology enthusiasts. Since 2008, Tech 4-in-1 has been providing you with a dazzling cocktail of state-of-the-art info and rib-tickling entertainment. Oscar Santana and Todd Moore really bring it week after week, but now it's even better. Thanks to me, Mike McIntosh. You know, Mac, the intern. Now that I'm a regular on Tech 4-11, the sky's the limit. Tune in and live the magic. It's Tech 4-in-1 with Oscar, Todd, and me. Mac, the intern. Available on the TMOS app, iTunes, and tech411show.com. Holla!
The best of O'Mara.
From around the globe, across the nation, looking through your neighbor's window, the Mike O'Mara Show now presents News You May Not Need, a comprehensive look at the stories you may or may not be talking about during your daily activity. And now, News You May Not Need.
A year after a pair of homemade pressure cooker bombs killed three people and wounded more than 260 others at the Boston Marathon, runners and spectators are getting involved in it today. It's already underway, the Boston Marathon. About 36,000 runners have registered for the race, the second largest field in its history. Many of them are coming to show support for the event and the city that was shocked by the attack on its signature sporting event. Can't believe I was up in Boston a year ago today going to the Red Sox game after the bombing happened.
Oh, that's right. You were actually driving into town when they captured the guy in the boat, right?
Yep, absolutely.
That's right.
And went to the Saturday baseball game on, I think it was April 20th, where, you know, Big Poppy, David Ortiz, got up and said, "This is our effing city."
Right.
Rather than creating a tense situation with all the security, everyone appears relaxed. Some runners have even thanked the police officers for making them feel safe. So, salute. I know Oscar's got family up there. I have family up there. And Boston Strong, we are with you. Hollywood has embraced God in a big and lucrative way. The movie Heaven is for Real, which depicts the story of a young boy who claims to have visited heaven during a near-death experience, is the fourth faith-based film this year to stir movie-going audiences with impressive box office. Made, for $12 million, the film, which stars Greg Kinnear, collected $21.5 million over the Easter weekend in U.S. and Canadian theaters, finishing third at the box office behind bigger-budget films Captain America, The Winter Soldier from Walt Disney, and Rio 2 from Fox. Two other Christian-based films also cracked the top 10. I thought this was a good Easter Monday
story. Of course, Mike.
Noah from Viacom and God's Not Dead, which is about a religious freshman college student who debates his professor over the existence of God. So, big business. God is selling in the movies.
I'd like to see it based not only on the fact of what the message of the movie. I like Greg Kinnear a lot.
Right.
And I saw him on, did you happen to watch CBS Sunday Morning?
I didn't this week. No.
They had a great interview with him. He likes to play real life people. You think back, he played Bob Crane in that movie, and he also did the guy that invented the intermittent windshield wipers. And this is a
terrific movie.
And this is the third movie where he plays an actual guy, and he likes to get inside people's heads. I think he offers a good performance almost all the time.
Gentlemen, speaking of gods or God in general,
yes,
I just looked up God of the Sky, and I should have known this. In Greek mythology, it's Uranus. What about Uranus photography?
Thank you. There you go. That fantastic. Would be great. He's still on his business. Thank you.
That's a category, Oscar. That's
Lindsay
category.
Lohan. You know her. You love Lindsay.
Yeah.
She says she suffered a miscarriage during the taping of a reality TV series.
Except when she said it, Mike. She said, I had a miscarriage.
No more baby.
Jack and Coke.
The 27-year-old actress.
She such made a the sympathetic disclosure. Ear.
She made the disclosure during Sunday's final episode of Lindsay, the own cable channel series. Lohan said the miscarriage was the reason that she was unable to appear on the program at one point. She said she was sick and unable to move. Oh, God.
That's a lie.
You think it's a lie?
You really think it's a lie? Legend.
I feel like that woman, she's in such a bad space, and especially when you watch a show, and she's so coddled that people will just, they won't, how do you, let me ask this question. When someone tells you that, how do you question that without being a complete dick? Like, you
absolutely
can't question that.
You know what this is?
Very, very key to telling
you know?
Lies.
This is similar, we talked about this about Bill O'Reilly on Friday, when he claimed right. that he was asked to be the Marlboro Man. Again, you really can't vet it. No, you can't.
She began taping the OWN reality show shortly after leaving her sixth stint in rehab last summer. Oscar, you've watched the Lindsay Lohan show?
Three of the episodes. I have three more to go, if I'm not mistaken.
Worthwhile train wreck to take a look at?
You know, it's fun because you see, you get an inside look out of, and it's kind of voyeuristic. You get an inside look of what it's like for someone that at one point had tremendous fame and now is trying to really win it back. And you see the struggle of addiction. So I wouldn't say fun is the wrong word.
Yeah, it's not really the word.
It's interesting.
You want.
It's interesting because it's not the train wreck effect. Isn't like, oh my God, I hate this woman. I can't believe she's doing it. It's almost sad because you sit there and you said, I can't believe the people around her are letting her get away with this.
You know what it is? Yeah. It's the Elvis thing all over again.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
People enabling people with power to ruin
right.
themselves. And I've watched it, and fun is not the word. It's tragic, and it makes me want to take a shower. It's gross is what it is.
Well, Rob Spiewak, I've told you time and time again, if there's one celebrity that I want to see on Broadway,
yes.
and I would pay any amount of money to see that celebrity, it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Of course. Yes, you're a big fan. You love all the stuff he does. He's a triple threat. This man is unstoppable, Mike.
He had a profane message for a besotted fan who disrupted his Broadway show, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. That sounds interesting. Mid-performance, a female fan yelled out, I love you, Neil! Harris, who plays a transgender East German punk, yelled back without missing a beat in character, I'm doing something up here, mother effer.
Wow, look at him.
Yeah, and the tough guy. And the audience went wild.
Of course they did. It's fun to go to Broadway.
I'd be excited.
Isn't that special? Remember when Apple Maps came out and everyone complained that it was worse than Google Maps?
Yes.
Well, Apple has just found the Loch Ness Monster. And I was not only looking at these photographs, it would be safe to say I was studying them over the weekend.
Yes. Is this why you went fishing?
Did
it inspire you?
There's a satellite shot of Loch Ness in Scotland on Apple Maps, and you can see a long, mysterious shape in the water. The shape is about 100 feet long, and it looks like it has flippers on the side.
Are you sure it's not a huge Baby Ruth bar?
Have you seen it?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
Naturally, people immediately suspected it was the Loch Ness Monster. In fact, the official Loch Ness Monster fan club. There's a group I want to be in.
Hey, Mickey Curcello is up for president this year.
Just send all inquiries to William Stillwell. Anyway,
I believe that it might be real.
Could I have an amaretto and ginger, please?
Oh my God, it does look real.
Doesn't it look scary?
This is not cool.
The fan club says, luckily, it's likely the monster. Spokesman Stephen Douglas McIntyre said that he was... No, the skeptics say it just looks like the wake from a boat, and that's fine, but there's no boat in the shot. Where's the boat, haters? Where's the boat, huh? It's not there.
Maybe the boat was just out of frame.
I believe it is the elusive monster.
Here you go, Rob.
This is big news for the Loch Ness Monster. The president of the fan club announced in February that no one had reported a sighting in 18 months. That's the longest span without a Loch Ness Monster sighting since 1925.
Well, the thing has got to be old now, the Loch Ness Monster. I mean, he's probably slower and easier to catch.
It does look. You know, they have actually river monsters on, is that on Discovery? I'm not sure what channel it's on.
I've watched River Monsters.
Yes, River Monsters, the guy goes to the Loch Ness. And yes. he finds a cartoon-sized bull shark there.
Does he really?
Yes. Well, this see, could be one of those bull sharks surfacing.
I love that you watch all that reality TV. I think that's wonderful. And regarding Mr. Spiewak's comment about the monster being too old,
yes.
please consider its offspring.
Son of even monster, if, yeah.
Even if your kid had a terrible Easter egg hunt this year and cried because the bigger kid snatched up all the eggs, this is worse.
Oh.
This is amazing.
What?
This story, there's some that I love on Easter, then there's some that are, oh my God.
Yeah.
Tara Hanaskova of Knoxville, Tennessee, set up an Easter egg hunt for her 3-year-old son last Wednesday. And while they were looking for eggs in the backyard, they noticed a pair of shoes poking out from under their deck. And when Tara investigated, she found a dead body.
Oh, no.
That was a guy. He was fully clothed.
Well, that's good anyway.
He'd been there for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
An autopsy found that he died from a medical condition, not murder. But the
murder?
But the cops haven't identified him yet. Tara says that luckily her son didn't know what was going on, even as their house was flooded with cops. Pretty interesting little Easter story there, don't you think?
If I had found a dead body on Easter, I would have waited 3 days just to see what happened.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with it right now, Carrie. Let's look on Monday. That's when the week starts.
Roll the stone back. See what happens.
He was doing a resurrection joke there, Oscar. Oh. He was doing Christ is risen. You see?
Oh, I don't get that.
That's okay.
I thought it was a lazy joke.
It's funny on many levels.
Yes. And now a little something something. A South Carolina man who walked into a Walmart wearing nothing but his shoes said he went crazy after getting his hands on the wrong drugs.
Oh, dear.
Kevin Hughes told WSOC-TV, "I've had a problem with drugs in the past. I still like to do ecstasy once in a while. I accidentally got methamphetamine instead, and it really made me crazy." Hughes is 36. He said that he remembers going to sleep at his sister's house on Thursday. The next thing he recalled was waking up in his truck in the parking lot of a Walmart.
Oh, no.
That's
Hughes
bad.
Told a reporter that he only realized he was naked once he ventured into the store. When police arrived, he reportedly told them he was looking to buy some clothes.
Yeah, fixing to, Mike.
He was fixing to buy him new. He was fixing to buy him a new outfit. He was escorted out by police, who found some shorts in Hughes' truck and took him to jail. And like I always say, boys,
yes.
Illegal drugs can't help you unless you take them right.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.